No, sister, they don't have to kill someone they love, but they must prove they can make the right decision. They must prove they have what it takes to choose the greater good. Would one with the gift be a good servant to this Creator of yours, to the hope of life, if they could act only for selfish needs? Giving someone pain, as the sisters do, doesn't prove anything except that the victim does not die. Wouldn't serving the light of life and loving life require that the person prove instead that of their own free will they would choose right, choose that light of life and love for all people?
Dear Creator, she whispered, have we had it wrong all this time?
Her hand covered her mouth a moment.
And we thought we were bringing the Creator's light to these boys.
Sister Verna's back straightened with resolve. She stood before Warren, putting her hands to the sides of his Radahan. As she stood with her eyes closed, her hands to the collar, there was a humming vibration in the air. After a moment, silence settled over the room, and then Richard heard a snapping sound. The Radahan cracked and fell away. Warren looked positively giddy at the sight of the broken collar. Richard wished it could be that easy for him.
What are you going to do now, Warren?
Richard asked. Are you going to leave the palace?
Maybe, but I wish to study the book some more first, if the sisters will allow it.
They will allow it, Sister Verna said. I will see to it.
Then maybe I would like to travel to Adendril, to the Wizard's Keep, and study the books and prophecies you told me were kept there.
That sounds a wise plan, Warren. Sister, I must be going.
Warren, she said, why don't you come along until I reach the valley? You are free now.
She glanced to the balcony.
I think it would do you good to get away from here for a time and think of other things. And I could use some help when we reach the valley if Richard accomplishes what he thinks he will.
Really? I would like that.
As the three of them lugged their gear toward the stables, three guards, Kevin, Walsh, and Bolliston, spotted them and ran to catch up.
We may have found them, Richard, Kevin said.
May have. What do you mean? Where are they?
Well, last night the Lady Sepha set sail. We talked to people down at the docks who said they saw some women, maybe the sisters, go aboard. Most agree they saw six women go aboard in the darkness just before she sailed.
Sailed? Richard groaned. What's the Lady Sepha?
A ship, a big ship. They left with the tide late in the night. They have a good lead, and from what I hear, there isn't a ship in port that can catch the Lady Sepha or go as far to sea.
We can't go after them and do your other task, Sister Verna said.
Richard shifted his pack in annoyance.
You're right. If it's really them, they're gone for now, but I know where they're going. We'll have to deal with them later. At least the Palace of the Prophets is safe. We have more important things to tend to right now. Let's get the horses and be on our way.
Chapter 67 Kaelin ran down the dark stone corridors and through the tomb-like chambers. The first rays of light splashed golden patches against the coarse, dark gray granite wall opposite the windows as she raced up an east stairway. Her heart pounded with the effort. She had not stopped running since Jebra had told her that she had spied a light in the Wizard's Keep, that Zed was back. She remembered what it felt like to run with long hair, the weight of it, the way it streamed out behind, flowing with her strides. She felt none of that now. But it didn't matter. She felt only desperate elation that Zed was back. She had been waiting so long. She screamed his name as she ran. Bursting into the cluttered reading room, she stumbled to a panting halt. Zed stood behind a table with books and papers scattered over it, just as she remembered it from the last time she had seen it months ago. Candles on stands gave the small room an intimate glow. The reading room had but a single window, facing the still, murky western sky. A big man with bushy eyebrows, mostly gray hair, and a weathered, creased face looked up from a walking stick he was inspecting. Addie sat in a chair to the side, her head flitting toward sounds. Zed cocked his head with a curious frown.
Zed!
She gulped air.
Oh, Zed, I'm so relieved to see you!
Zed!
He turned toward the big man.
Zed?
The big man gave a nod.
But I like Reuben.
Zed, I need your help.
Who be there?
Addie said from the chair.
Addie, it's me, Kaelin.
Kaelin?
She twitched her head toward Zed.
Who be Kaelin?
Zed shrugged.
The pretty girl with short hair. She seems to know us.
What are you talking about? Zed, I need help. Richard is in trouble. I need you.
Zed's brow wrinkled in bewilderment.
Richard? They know that name, I think.
Kaelin was frantic.
Zed, what's the matter? Don't you know me? Please, Zed, I need you. Richard needs you.
Richard.
He rubbed his smooth chin as he stared and thought at the table.
Richard.
Your grandson. Dear spirits, don't you know your own grandson?
He stared at the table, thinking.
Grandson? They seem to remember... No, can't say I do.
Zed, listen to me. The Sisters of the Light have him. They've taken him away.
Kaelin stood silently, catching her breath. Zed's hazel eyes rose slowly to meet her gaze. His face lost its curiosity as his eyebrows drew in to hood his glare.
The Sisters of the Light have Richard?
Kaelin had seen wizards angry, but she had never seen a look in any wizard's eyes like the look in Zed's eyes.
Yes,
she said. She wiped her sweaty palms on her hips as she watched a crack run up the stone of the wall behind him.
I came and took him.
Zed put his knuckles to the table and leaned toward her.
That's not possible. They couldn't take him unless they got one of their cursed collars around his neck. Richard would not put a collar around his neck.
Kaelin's knees were beginning to tremble.
He did.
His seething expression seemed it might ignite the very air.
Why would he put their collar around his neck, Confessor?
Because,
she said in a small voice,
I made him put it on.
The candles on one of the stands close to him abruptly melted, dripping their wax to hissing puddles on the floor. The iron arms that had held the candles drooped down like a plant needing water. The big man shrank back toward the wall of shelves. Zed's voice came in a dangerous whisper.
You did what, Confessor?
The room echoed with silence as she stood quivering.
He didn't want to. I had to do it. I told him that he had to put it on to prove he loved me.
Kaelin thought she felt herself hit the wall. She couldn't understand why she was sprawled on the floor. She pushed herself up with shaking arms. She gasped as she was suddenly jerked to her feet and slammed against the wall again. Zed, his eyes wild, was right in front of her.
You did that to Richard?
Kaelin's head spun. Her own voice sounded distant.
You don't understand. I had to. Zed, I need your help. Richard told me to find you and tell you what I had done. Please, Zed. Help him.
In a rage, Zed backhanded her across the face. She skinned her hands on the stone floor as she went down. He yanked her to her feet and slammed her to the wall once more.
I can't help him. No one can. You fool!
Tears ran down her face.
Why? Zed, we have to help him.
She brought up her arms in front of her face to ward him off when he drew his hand back again. It didn't help. Her head smacked the wall again. The room spun. She shook all over. She had never seen a wizard in a rage so out of control. Kaelin knew he was going to kill her for what she had done to Richard.
You fool! You treacherous fool! No one can help him now!
Please, Zed, you can. Please, help him.
Not even I! No one can get to him! I can't pass the towers! Richard is lost to us! All I had left is lost!
What do you mean, lost to us?
With trembling fingers, she wiped blood from the corner of her mouth. She didn't wipe the tears.
He will be back. He has to come back.
Zed's eyes never left hers as he slowly shook his head.
Not while any of us are alive. The Palace of the Prophets is in a spell of time. Richard will be there for the next 300 years while they train him. We will never see him again. He is lost to this world.
Kaelin shook her head.
No. Dear spirits, no. That can't be. We will see him. It can't be true.
True, Mother Confessor. You have put him beyond any help. I will never again see my grandson. You will never again see him.
Richard will not return to this world for another 300 years because of you! Because you made him put on that collar to prove he loves you!
He turned his back to her. Kaylin fell to her knees.
No!
She beat her fists on the floor.
Dear spirits, why have you done this to me?
She cried in choking sobs.
Richard! My...
For the confessor,
Zed asked in a menacing voice, his back still to her. Kaylin sat back on her heels. What did it matter anymore?
The council convicted me of treason. I have been sentenced to be executed, to be beheaded. The people all cheered at the pronouncement of sentence. They all wanted to see it done. But I escaped.
Zed nodded.
The people shall have their wish.
He grabbed what was left of her hair in his fist and started dragging her from the room.
For what you have done, you shall be beheaded.
Zed!
She screamed.
Zed, please don't do this!
He used magic to drag her down the hall like a sack of feathers.
Tomorrow, at the winter solstice festival, the people shall have their wish. They shall see the mother confessor beheaded. As first wizard, I will see to it. I shall see it done.
Kaylin went limp. What did it matter? The good spirits had abandoned her. They had stripped her of everything that mattered. Worse, she herself had condemned Richard to 300 years of the thing he feared most. She wanted to die. Death couldn't come fast enough for her. Richard stood with his hands on his hips as he watched the dark clouds made by spells in the distance, in the Valley of the Lost. They looked beautiful in the sunrise, with golden edges and striations of glowing rays, but he knew they were deadly.